KT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect 2.0. Jim Williams and Chip Lusko in studio with a special guest from the New Mexico Film Office today.
Jim, I've been looking forward to this all week. Todd's joining us. I know he's a hugely busy guy. Todd, thanks for taking time with us.
You're welcome. Good to be on.
This is Todd Christensen, and you're the head of the New Mexico Film Commission, and we're just thankful to have a few minutes with you.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. Todd and Jim Williams and I here, and I've been watching from afar, being in the media industry somewhat, the progress you have made in that film office. And I got to tell you, we are impressed. You've done fantastic job.
Hey, Todd, this is Jim.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. I know you're doing a great job. We have all kinds of production studios coming in, NBC, Netflix, all these different entities. But I'm a retired banker, so I start looking at all these numbers. I look at the things in some of the articles that have come out, that we have film tax rebates up to $110 million, and we have reimbursements up to 35%. Here's my simple question. I know you're generating a lot of jobs and a lot of revenue for the state of New Mexico. Tell me what makes New Mexico attractive for film companies to come in here and produce their work.
Well, you know, as you know, I was a location manager for 23 years and worked on major movies, excuse me, and moved back here a little over 13 years ago. And partly because I hoped that I could find work here. And I did, and I stayed busy most of the time that I was here until that last administration first came in, then business sort of dropped for 3 years and I had to leave town. So what makes it attractive is a number of things. One is the landscape. Albuquerque is big enough to show itself as a city. There's Las Vegas that can play for a lot of different places. So there's all these, like, location factors that make it important, that make it good for people to come. And also, over the years, what's happened is the crews in New Mexico have built up and become really good. And so people know that they can come here, and they can hire a lot of New Mexico crew and feel like they can produce the movie and produce it as well as anywhere else, including L.A., New York, Georgia, and the crews are that good here.
Well, I also have a theory. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. My son's a director. I've produced a dozen documentaries. But I think also, everything you said, of course, the crews are amazing here. But also the weather is dependable. And if you're on a shoot and it's raining for 3 days, it can be a problem, correct? Isn't the weather?
Yes.
Yes. And also, it's a nonstop to L.A. for some people, and that has to be a factor.
You know, listen, a lot of them come here, and a lot of them, that factor of being able to fly back to L.A. over the weekend has been big. I mean, there's a combination of factors that make it a great place to come and film, and that producers and studios start to look here early on to see if they can make their movie here. I got a lot of calls as a location manager early on. Like, here's the script. Can we do it there? Where can we do it in New Mexico? They never asked me, where can we do this in Texas, or where can we do this in Oklahoma or Utah? They said, where can we do this in New Mexico? And I would tell them how that can be accomplished. And I think what happens is, you know, the combination of all these things, like, the flights back and forth to L.A., that's an aside. You know, that they just think, wow, that's great, because, Georgia, it's a little bit longer flight. Louisiana, it's a longer flight. So they like that about it. But it also, the landscape, the towns, the cities have to fit the script, or I show them how it can fit. And, you know, location managers in New Mexico are key to show how a script can be translated into the New Mexico town, cities, and landscapes.
Well, let's take it inside for a minute, Todd. The landscape is great, obviously. I saw it in The Big Kill recently. They're up in Las Vegas, I think. But you have two huge sound stages. I toured the one down by the airport, and at that time, at least, it was one of the biggest sound stages in the country. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, the L.A. sound stages are pretty impressive. I mean, you know, L.A. back when I started working there in the 90s, I looked at it as a factory town. You know, they made entertainment. The thing about the studios in Albuquerque, the eight stages, and the two in Santa Fe, they're impressive. They're state-of-the-art, up-to-date, real sound stages. The thing in L.A., a lot of the sound stages are, depending, they built some new ones, but they're smaller, they're older. Right. These are all new, you know, and it makes it really attractive. It's one of the first, when I get a call, I say, you know, if you're going to build anything on set, you better call the stages.
Todd, you obviously have a relationship with our new governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, and like her, we are all interested in making our state appear more competitive and appeal to businesses, not just in the film industry and the production industry, but really in all kinds of businesses. What are the secrets to what you guys are doing and having the success you're having?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, when you have a governor that's proactive, like our governor is, and you have an economic development that's proactive, like they are under Alicia Keys, That means you can move forward, that you can actually think out of the box. You can make things happen. You are supported in making those things happen and moving forward and showing people how successful it is. And what, you know, once stages and studios move in, like Netflix and NBC Universal, crews start to build up, people start to buy more homes, hotels start to fill up more cars are rented. There's all these other things that happen. And then are other businesses that are not entertainment business attracted to New Mexico because of these other things that are happening, and it looks like a good place to go.
Well, we say
But I believe that, you know, opening the doors up to the way this administration has done it, I believe will open up other businesses to come to New Mexico.
Well, we say bravo, Todd. Let's drill down. The two big news stories, the headlines this year, have been Netflix and NBC Universal. Tell us the scope of that and what it means to New Mexico.
Well, the scope, I mean, it's a shining light. I mean, they're the beacon on the hill. When Netflix came, it's why it looked good for you, NBC Universal to come and other companies to possibly come. You know, Netflix is huge, and also they're a streaming service, so they started that early on. I think they were the first company or one of the first to start that. And so it becomes really attractive when a company that's that big and it's making that many streaming shows, movies and TV, that other companies all of a sudden start to look at like, maybe that's a good place to go. If Netflix is going there and they feel like it's a good place to go, maybe we should look into that.
Well, without being too...
I think that's what NBC Universal did, and then they came, and hopefully other companies will do the same.
Absolutely. So without being too much of a film groupie, who's in the state right now shooting film? Give us an idea.
Well, there's some that I can mention and some not. There's Interrogation, which is a 10-part series that's shooting, and they're going to finish up in July. Better Call Saul is filming. They're doing, I'm not sure which season it is, but they're back, and I think they finish up in July. And I'm not sure. I'd have to go to the list and look at it. But we are busy. We are busy, and we're getting phone calls.
That's great.
Well, Todd, we are so appreciative that you're joining us here this afternoon. We have to take a really quick break, and we'll bring you right back. So bear with us. We have Todd Christensen on the phone. He is the director of the New Mexico Film Commission, and we'll have Todd right back for some more questions right after these messages.
In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. The home was established to care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and more will make that happen. Call 898-5520. That's 898-5520. Or connect online at acchkids.org.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520.
This week on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip points out one of life's most defining moments.
The greatest discovery you could ever make in your life is the day you discover how much God loves you. There's nothing like the love of God. And let me put it this way. He knows everything about you, and He still loves you.
Connect with Skip Heitzig every day this week as he continues the series, The War Is Over.
Weekdays at 8 a.m. on KNKT.
The 2019 Star 88 Golf Tournament, Saturday morning, September 21st, 8 o'clock at Santa Ana Golf Club. This four-person scramble will help Star 88 meet the 2019 budget, while a portion of the proceeds will benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. Enjoy a day filled with golf and giveaways and godly fellowship. Breakfast is provided by Monroe's New Mexican Food. Lunch provided by Chick-fil-A. Sponsors are needed right now, and golfers will receive a discount for signing up early at star88.fm/golf.
You are listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect 2.0. Jim Williams and Chip Lusko in studio with you, and on the phone with us is the director of the New Mexico Film Office, Todd Christensen. Again, Todd, thanks for joining us. This may sound kind of like a silly groupie question again, but it's kind of fun to occasionally see famous actors and things around our state. As you have moved here to New Mexico, Todd, are there a lot of actors and other people prominent in the film industry that live here also and are supporting your efforts?
Yeah, I mean, all the crews have. I've been getting some really positive emails and calls from a lot of people I've worked with over the years. And also from some of my producer friends that are in L.A. and New York and around the country. You know, it's been real positive. You know, some of my actor friends, I haven't let them know yet. I just haven't had time that I'm in this job. But I've gotten a lot of support, and it feels good.
Well, here's another kind of stalker question for you, Todd. For our listeners, we drive around town and we see these yellow signs with weird little three-letter codes and an arrow. And you probably can't tell us to decipher it, but that means a shoot's going on, correct?
Yes.
he says cryptically. That's good, Todd. Well, tell us.
I should say, well, maybe.
Yeah. No, I get that. It is fun being at Flying Star, and you're sitting there and goes, well, wait a minute, there's that guy, and you don't want to go over, you know, and interrupt them. But it is great to see New Mexico, you know, proliferating that way. I have one more quick question. I'll let you go, Todd. And that is just, I want to understand personally. So we have two major sound stages, one by the airport and one by the north end of town. Are they both now going to be occupied and going full guns?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be occupied. And we also have Studio 25, I-25 stages,
right.
And also Carson up here in Santa Fe are also, you know, legitimate stages that people look for and film at. So, if somebody was to come in and build some more stages, we would say, good for you.
Todd, does the scope of your job include going to high schools and college, higher education type professionals to help you develop these crews and things to satisfy the need?
One of the things that when I put in for this, because I was still working as a location manager, when I put in for this, one of the things that I was excited about, the part that I believe I can help put into effect greater than it has been before, is to go to the high schools, go to the colleges, go to the pueblos, and get them excited about filming in New Mexico and staying here and what it takes to get on a film and to start. You know, I started at the bottom, and then I'd show up early. You know, showing up on time was showing up early. I showed up early, and I worked late. And that's what I would tell people, and also to be persistent. You know, the people coming out of the colleges, coming in from the pueblos that might want to get film jobs or to do the things they want to do if they're writers or they're above the line, is to be persistent in what they're doing and find a day job.
There you go. Well,
make coffee until you can get on. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. But once you get on a show and you prove that you're there to work and to be an effective employee on the show, people notice, and you'll be asked to do the next show, and then you'll be asked to do the next show. And that's what I want to let people know, that there's a process that happens with filming that's sometimes quicker, sometimes slower. You know, it just you have to be persistent and try to be in for the long run.
I was reading in your bio that you're a University of New Mexico alum. So yes. Did you immediately go right into this industry from college?
No, I didn't. I sort of switched my I sort of was going into the arts towards the end. I ended up moving to Taos. I worked for an artist up there, Ken Price.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the arts. I started painting in the 80s. I made ceramics in the 70s, early 80s. Then I made paintings and did art shows and did odd jobs. And a guy came to my studio in Venice, California, and I thought he'd buy a painting. And instead, he offered me a job. I asked him what he did, and he said he was a location manager. I said, "What's that?" And he told me what it was, and he said, "You know, you get paid, and there's a union, and there's insurance involved." And I got on a show with him, and I saw that this is what I want to do. And then I got on a movie, and I said, if I do this, I want to be on movies. And I did. I've done over 30 movies. You know, so from the University of New Mexico, I knew Dennis Hopper. You know, there was a lot of people I knew, but I was into the arts, so I never looked to get into the movie business. I just wanted those people to buy my paintings.
There you go.
And instead, I got into it, and every odd job that I did ended up being my college for the movie business. And so everything I did up to getting into the movie business was college to the movie business. I just took that same energy and put it into that.
Well, and I'm reading again some of the projects you've worked on, the Hunger Games, There Will Be Blood, Paul, Syriana, Moneyball. You worked on various films that are well-known and some that are not. Did you have a favorite project? Are there stories that come to mind that you'd be willing to share with us here today?
Well, I did. Moneyball was really important because it was I love baseball.
Uh-huh.
And I was one of 15 people or so that they interviewed, and they called me up that night and said, we want you on the team, and let's make a deal. We made a deal. The next morning, I was on an airplane at 9 in the morning, flew to Oakland, and by noon, I was two rows behind the Yankees playing the Oakland A's. It was the magic of movie making right there, man.
That's fantastic.
And so then I did a movie called Off the Map. I had a really rough experience in a movie in L.A., and I went to Taos to go see my son and to see some friends and see what I wanted to do. The day I got there, they were making the movie Off the Map, which was the second movie under the incentive program back in 2002. And I worked on that movie and decided then that I wanted to work on good shows with good people. And I tried to follow that, and that's why I have a resume that looks really good. I have some gaps in between because the shows that called me, I wasn't interested in doing, and I had a really rich life all the way through.
Do you have some favorites along the way that we might recognize, people that you've worked with that you've enjoyed particularly a lot?
Well, are you talking about actors?
Well, I know there's a lot of famous directors. There's a lot of actors. Who did you really enjoy working with? A lot of times we all have the perception that when you get famous, you end up having to be a jerk. And I know that that's really not true. I have a lot of friends of mine who are professional athletes. And sure, there's some people that get a big head and they act like they're special. But the majority of them are just great people. And I enjoy knowing them and talking with them. And a lot of them are people of faith. They do a lot of charitable type of work. And I know that's true.
Oh, yeah.
In your industry, people give a lot of their selves when they're not on the set or working. They give a lot to charity.
Yeah, I mean, I have been really lucky and worked with a lot of really great people. And the small number of ones that I didn't, I'm not even interested in them. You know what I mean? Or mentioning them. But I can mention, like, you know, James Brooks, who did the first movie I did, which is Good as It Gets, who had won three or four Academy Awards before that, was really interesting. I did, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson and There Will Be Blood, Moneyball. It was an amazing crew. Sicario was Denis Villeneuve, who's become really huge, and he was like the nicest guy on the planet. He went and thanked all the locations. And then I worked with the Coen brothers, and that was like the height. I thought at the end of doing that movie, I thought, well, if this is my last movie, it's a good way to go out. That was my last movie.
But it sounds like you're confident of a lot more work coming into New Mexico, and I'd like to ask if you'd stay with us for one more segment. I have a few more questions to ask you, and again, thank you so much for your time. We're going to be back on KNKT right after these messages.
Roofs and gutters defend against the elements. Preparing for storms and temperature variations or repairing damage means quality is paramount. For 21 years, local Christian-owned Klinger Pro Roofing continues to be the local roofer you can trust for residential and commercial needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Klinger Pro Roofing has the best warranties and is Owens Corning and GAF certified, while maintaining a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. Get a free estimate, KlingerProRoofing.com or 865-0605.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at Gonstead-NM.com or 505-884-8584.
Attention senior high and college students. You're taking the leap of your lifetime, and you need to be prepared. Mark Sunday, June 30th on your calendar, and do not miss Sojourn. Here's the deal. It's free, but the info is priceless. The speakers include Ben Corson.
We are the most depressed generation ever. The suicide rate has increased by 25%. We are living in a crisis, and I believe that we were born for such a time as this.
And Sojourn looks at the critical issue of keeping your faith when you leave the nest with Dominic Dunn, author of When Faith Fails.
There is a difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt can lead you, if you know how to respond to it, into a deeper, more authentic form of faith.
Sojourn at Calvary Church on Osuna, 4 to 8 p.m., Sunday, June 30th. Did we mention it's free? There's going to be some hang time, a DJ, food trucks, and most of all, prep for what you'll face in the fall. Check it out online at calvarynm.church.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you in studio. Chip Lusko has had to run off to a meeting. I am on the phone with Todd Christensen, the New Mexico director of the director of the New Mexico Film Office. Todd, again, thanks for being with us. Tell us a little bit about your family. Family here, you here by yourself working 80 hours a week. Tell me how that schedule's working out.
Yeah, I have two sons. One works in the film business. He's in locations. I just got engaged yesterday.
Congratulations. So. Wow, that's exciting. That's really neat. That is awesome. And is this somebody you met here?
Pamela Thompson here in Santa Fe.
Fantastic. And so one son is in production and in New Mexico, and your other son?
And the other son lives in Taos. He's from Taos Pueblo. His mother was from the Pueblo.
Well, so you
he's 46 years old. He's 46, and my other son's 36.
Well, congratulations. It's exciting to have your kids close. I know that. I have five children, but I only have three of them here in Albuquerque, and one of them leaves me every fall to go back to school. So you kind of miss them when you don't get to see them a lot. It's a lot of fun. Todd, tell me what we can do in encouraging politicians to support projects and programs that'll help the film industry here in New Mexico.
Well, you know, what I have told people before, I mean, they see stars and they look at the money they get or they look at Hollywood. But in fact, a lot of what the film business does is business. I did business. I'd get a movie and have anywhere from $600,000 to $1.2 million to spend, and I would spend that all on the ground in that local area. And so, you know, the encouragement is that this is a growing business, that it hires people, it feeds into all different directions, from hotels to rental cars and restaurants, businesses, vendors. You know, there's a whole business that grows up around filming that has to be recognized, and that's something sometimes it's hard to track, but it's there. It's there and it's happening. I saw it when it slipped away in after 2010, and people that were upset that it slipped away. I left town for a couple of years to do work, and so the evidence is when filming is happening here, and I see these businesses and hotels and so forth, that they are happy for the business that takes place with the filming.
I understand. Tell me what you mean. You used the expression a minute ago about above the line. What does above the line mean?
Above the line is the actors, the producers, director. Those are people who are above the line. They usually come in from out of town. And that's something that we hope changes. You know, I know some crew members that came to, I was one of them, they came to New Mexico and stayed. And there's, you know, there was a lot of actors that lived around Santa Fe for a long time, and that's still possible, you know, this is what I know from going to college and living here off and on for a long time. This is an amazing place to live.
It truly is. And Todd, we appreciate all your efforts and all the things that are going into this. We'd like our community, I mean, this radio station appeals to the faith community, primarily Christians of all denominations, and a lot of people are praying for our state, want you to be successful. And, you know, the Christian community here wants our state to be successful regardless of their beliefs or orientations or other things. We want us as a community to love and care for one another. And you're doing a lot to help bring that about by providing great jobs and, frankly, just kind of a fun industry. I can't imagine, you know, I've been in a couple restaurants where I've seen some actors and things, and I try not to be too touristy and too much like a stalker, but it's just kind of fun to say, yeah, that person's working on a film, and it's just it brings joy to people, I think. And so I appreciate all your efforts. Anything else that you want to say to our audience that might encourage them today about being involved in the film industry?
Well, you know, thank you for having me on, and also that we accept all the prayers that anybody is passing this way. And I think the big deal is that, you know, when filming goes to neighborhoods and they go to different places, is to get to know the location people or the people that are on the ground, and they'll be as accommodating as they can. You know, sometimes filming can be an inconvenience, but it usually doesn't last long. And that it's a green business, it's a viable business, and here to stay.
Well, thank you again, Todd, for joining us on ABQ Connect 2.0. We'll look forward to talking to you down the road. And as we see the headlines, we'll be praying for you and your family and wish you all the success.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. All do. And I have a great office here.
Fantastic. So all right. Best to you. Thanks for joining us. Want to remind everybody about this weekend, June 30th from 4:00 to 8:00 p.m. here on the Calvary of Albuquerque campus. If you are a high school or college student or preparing to go off to college, don't miss Sojourn, preparing students for the journey. This free event is happening at Calvary Church, Albuquerque, again, Sunday, June 30th, 4:00 to 8:00 p.m. This event features guest speakers Ben Corson, who will be our guest tomorrow on ABQ Connect, and Dominic Dunn, who we were able to speak to yesterday on the air for a little while. Don't miss out on the food trucks, the DJ, tons of fun, high school and college age welcome. For more information, go online. Again, the Sojourn event this weekend. We'll be back with more ABQ Connect right after this.
Here's Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute.
If your employer doesn't offer a 401k, you still have options for retirement savings. The obvious one is an IRA, either traditional or Roth. We prefer the Roth because even though you're taxed when you contribute, you're not taxed when you withdraw funds in retirement. And if you have a high deductible health plan, you can open a health savings account. It helps you with your medical expenses. And after age 65, you can withdraw funds for any reason without penalty. You only pay taxes as you would with a 401k, so it essentially becomes a retirement plan. Another option is a taxable brokerage account. After a year, withdrawals are taxed at the lower capital gains rate, not the income tax rate. Now you have no excuse not to save.
Your money and your life belong to God. Learn to manage them both well when you visit MoneyWise.org, MoneyWise.org.
Are mosquitoes ruining your summer? Got him. Hi, this is Doug Chamberlain with the Samaritan Ministries Family Health Checkup. Mosquitoes are pesky and relentless. One option to avoid getting bit is just to stay inside, but that's not how I like to spend my summers, so here's a couple of options. Many sources recommend a chemical-based repellent that includes DEET, which is known to be effective, but if you're concerned about the exposure to chemical content and want to try a natural option, here's a suggestion. Try mixing your own. There are plenty of recipes for repellents that include a combination of essential oils that are becoming more popular, and there's no fear of exposure to toxic chemicals. You may need to apply it more often, but if you're looking for a natural alternative, that seems to be a good trade-off. For more, visit Family Health Checkup on Facebook or at FamilyHealthCheckup.org.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a pastor of a church, and we've investigated getting land from the Bureau of Land Management here in Nevada. They donate land to the school district, but they won't donate land to the churches. I was just wondering what our stance is on.
It depends if the Bureau of Land Management's policy is that we'll give it to only other governmental entities, and that may be what's taking place in that particular case, that it's a governmental entity that is the one requesting land, and they will give it to another governmental entity, and that's maybe the reason why they're not giving it to churches. So if they have a general land use policy that allows them to donate land to various groups, including nonprofit organizations, and saying they shouldn't donate it to the religious group, you could win that case pretty easily. But it's probably because there's a limitation on the issue as it relates to the government agencies receiving the land.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
A Harvest America moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Psalm 56:8 says, "You keep track of all my sorrow. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book." You know, many people suffer in life. Maybe they suffer with an illness. Maybe they suffer with a disability. Maybe they suffer because a loved one of theirs died. If you've lost someone, you know what I'm talking about right now. Listen to me now. One day God's going to make it up to you. And whatever you've lost, He's going to give you something greater in its place. And you'll understand why this happened to you. But until that day, just be reassured. It's all in the book. And it's all going to be good.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be your most trusted, locally owned and operated mortgage company. For years, you've heard me encourage you to shop your mortgage around. Well, the CFPB, which is the governing body for all financial institutions, completed a nationwide survey and concluded that 70% of borrowers did not shop their mortgage. And because of this, they overpaid in fees to the tune of $30 billion. The worst part is, the survey only looked at fees and not what a higher rate would cost over the life of the mortgage. Never assume your lender is offering you the best deal, and remember that big banks and big internet lenders are the worst offenders, no matter if they mention how highly ranked they are. Don't overpay in fees and don't take a higher rate than what you deserve. Shop around and be sure to include your local trusted lender, Indigo Mortgage. Call 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
From the Power Forge Studios, Faith Family Ford Power Forge. Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect 2.0. Great stuff today from Todd Christensen. We appreciate him so much. He is the director of the New Mexico Film Office, talking to us a little bit about all the things going on with Netflix and NBC and CBS television shows coming in. Our studios are full here in New Mexico, generating a lot of business for our economy. So we absolutely appreciate Todd being in. And now I have a special guest here to speak with us. She is an employee here at KNKT. She is also my daughter, Abby Williams.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Dad.
And you know what we wanted to talk about today is this young lady, obviously very special to me, but when she was 4 years old, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And she has had a successful career as a student and received all academic honors, extremely healthy and happy and healthy as an athlete.
Oh, stop. I'm blushing.
Well, and I want to bring this up because there's a lot of parents, Abby, and this is going to be my first question to you. And I know you don't remember when you were 4 years old, but I can tell you your mom and I were terrified. So
I actually remember more than, like, you would be surprised how much I remember about it.
So I remember when Abby was four, and she was one of those people, that young person that did not like using diapers. And so she absolutely didn't want to wet her pants anymore. She was potty trained way before any of our other five children.
We are getting personal.
It's just true. But then all of a sudden, when she was 4 years old, a couple of years after she was potty trained, there was a couple of accidents that happened. So we went to the doctor, and we were told there were various things from, urinary tract infections to this and that. But nobody told us it was diabetes.
Yep.
And so finally, when we identified that, you'd end up being in the hospital for a long time.
Yep. I think I was there for 5 days.
And we could have lost you. And it was a terrifying experience. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about this today is because there's a lot of parents that are going to face this type of situation. And I want to encourage them that it's just a different life. It is hard.
Yes,
there's
definitely
a lot of things you have to manage. So I wanted to ask you, my first question is, tell me what kinds of things, I know you compare yourself to other people, what kind of things are tough for you in that?
I mean, I think initially I just kind of think back to when I was a kid. It's just different. You get invited to a birthday party, you can't eat the cake, all that sugar. I remember when I was in kindergarten, my dad sitting here next to me, he had to come every lunch period and help me give myself a shot. And kids looked at me and stared at me, and I was losing weight. I didn't know why. My biggest thing, though, obviously, my dad knows this. I'm a volleyball player. I love sports. I'm always active. And I would honestly say that's the hardest part, because people don't understand, like, oh, I'm getting dizzy. Well, did you eat? Well, yes, I did, but my blood sugar's going low. I'm seeing double balls right now. I don't know what's happening. I feel weak. Or on the flip side of that, when my blood sugar goes really high, people don't understand. I can't really breathe. My blood is so thick and full of glucose that I just don't feel good. My feet hurt because my blood's not circulating. So it's just things like that. And even in academics, I don't get excused if my blood sugar is low and I have to take a test. But no one knows that it's really hard for me. You know, your brain's not working. It's not getting enough of the energy source that it needs. And so it's just tough.
So there's a lot of older people today that are experiencing diabetes.
Yes.
Primarily type 2.
Mm-hmm.
So they're different diseases, really. So type 2 really is a resistance to insulin and the way it acts in your body to carry glucose
right
to your cells. Type 1 diabetics have actually lost their islet cells, which carry glucose to the cells in your body.
Yep.
And so you have to give yourself insulin injections based on a calculation that's done with how many carbohydrates you're ingesting that will be converted into glucose. Pretty
right
complicated.
I mean, as I was pretty impressive as a 5-year-old, being like, you know what? I know that piece of bread has exactly 15 carbohydrates.
Yeah, and you do know that now. I mean,
I
you
do
can look at a portion of food and know.
I know instantly, like, exactly how many carbs it is.
Yeah, and it's funny because if you eat a bagel,
is
those things are so dense that you're...
My blood sugar will literally go up to 400, which for those of you who don't know, that is a very bad blood sugar. You usually, people who don't have diabetes usually range from about 80 to 120. So when I'm 400, that's just not a good situation. And so when I eat things like bagels, it stays in your blood stream so long that it just makes you go really, really high. And then once the insulin finally hits that you give yourself, then you'll drop. And so it's just a constant roller coaster of blood sugar.
But we really wanted to talk to people about this today because I want to assure parents that, you know, your child is going to be fine.
Yep.
Mine is fine. They will grow and be healthy and they'll love the Lord and they'll have challenges in their life that in many ways enhance their faith and build them as people. But it is difficult. And there shouldn't be any reason you can't experience everything everybody else does. So if you're a parent with a young child that's been diagnosed with diabetes, we can encourage you and lift you up. And we sought prayer from a lot of different people. And we're just, I'm blessed that you're my daughter and still around. Talk to me about people that you know now, Abby. I know you've met a lot of kids, that were younger. You went to Hope Christian School and some parents have had kids diagnosed with diabetes. Actually, multiple kids.
Yeah, I know. I know a ton of kids for sure. And it's actually funny that you kind of mentioned that. Us diabetics kind of have a close-knit community. And it's funny because I wear my pump. For those of you who don't know, it kind of acts as my pancreas. It attaches to my leg. Insulin is in there and it gives me insulin throughout the day. And then when I'm about to eat, I calculate how many carbs. I enter it into this little PDM that controls my pump and then it will give me insulin. But it's funny because especially when I'm wearing shorts or something like that and you can see it visible on my leg, I have so many parents and people come up to me and be like, hey, what's that? Is that a pump? Are you a diabetic? And it's just funny because I a lot of younger kids have done that. I've had maybe four or five just in the last, you know, 6 months come up to me and be like, is that the Omnipod? What do you think about the pump? Should I get my kid that? And so it's kind of heartbreaking because I see little 4-year olds come up to me and, you know, I lived through it. So I don't want to see that happen to them, but it is kind of cool being that older person that they can look to and kind of get advice from in a way. Because diabetes is hard and I think a lot of parents do freak out about it because a lot of changes happen in the body. You know, your kids are losing weight. You don't know why. Your kid feels sluggish, is really irritable. Mood swings are a huge thing and they just don't understand and they don't know how to control it. So I think it's really important that I can be a person that people can come up to and talk to about it. Even if it's just by showing, you know, my pump on my leg, they can see it. And, I love being approachable and being able to help those kids.
What are the challenges of all of us have trouble with our diets? You know, some of us are fighting weight. Some of us are actually trying not to lose weight, which is unusual. But there is a segment of the population that's doing that. Tell me what you have to do special in your diet.
So my case is a little bit more particular because a lot of diabetics actually end up getting celiac disease, which is an allergy to gluten. So things like bread and anything that really contains flour or wheat, you can't eat. So mine's definitely more of a strict diet. I really stick to a lot of fruits and veggies and meat and all that. So for the most part, I have a very, very healthy diet. But even if I didn't have celiac, I think I would still try to stay away from those things like bread because as we talked about before, bagels are super bad for you. They're long acting and I more than anyone want to eat a slice of that Dion's pizza. But I know that if I do that, my blood sugar is just going to go crazy, crazy high. So, you know, it's definitely one of those give and takes. You got to be like, okay, this one time I can treat myself, but you know, maybe next time I got to say no to the ice cream. I got to say no to that second slice of pizza. So it's just very different. You have to be very conscious of what you're eating and make sure that you're really calculating all your carbs correctly.
And since you were diagnosed, Abby, I know you used to love to drink Ocean Spray cranberry juice.
Yes.
I mean, that stuff is delicious.
So good.
But people don't realize. I mean, we all think cranberry juice really healthy, but here's the truth about it. And I'm not trying to be judgmental of any one product, but the truth is that soft drinks and most juices, if your blood glucose level is at 40, which is extremely low and right before you pass out, if I were to give you 3 or 4 ounces of a soft drink, you know, like I won't mention any brands or some of this cranberry juice, your glucose level would change literally within 6 to 7 minutes because goes straight to your system.
Yep.
And that just can't be good for your pancreas.
Definitely not. I mean, I think that's one of the most common problems with diabetics. At least I've talked to a lot of diabetics that feel this way too. You know, we'll be 41 minute, but then we drink you know, a cup of apple juice or cranberry juice, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden we're 300. And I don't, that's another thing. That's one of the hardest things when your body is going through that significant of a change in such a short amount of time. You just do not feel good after things like that happen.
It gives you headaches.
Dehydrated and your body is just fatigued, honestly.
Well, Abby, I'm so appreciative of you being in here today. So Abby Williams and Jim Williams in studio with you at ABQ Connect. We're going to be back with another segment with Abby. Stay with us here on ABQ Connect.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question and answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. Let's be honest. It can feel like an uphill struggle, a full-on battle. But you are never alone in seasons of struggle because God fights for you every step of the way. That's the encouraging biblical truth we love sharing with you through these broadcasts. And when you give today to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig, we'll send you three powerful resources. The dynamic music that inspired the teaching series, The War Is Over CD, and Breakthrough, the brand new worship album from Battle Drums.
We just want to get strong enough to make.
Lifestyle booklet, Jesus Loves the Broken. Call now to give and get these three encouraging resources. 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Coming to you live from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford Power Ford. Jim Williams in studio with Abby Williams, and we're talking about diabetes. It's a tough thing. A lot of people in the United States dealing with type 1, and a lot of people also dealing with type 2. Abby, it's a tough road. You're one of the toughest people I know, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, Dad. Couldn't have done it without you.
So there's a lot of tools out there now and a lot of resources, tons of research out there, and you wear an Omnipod pump.
Yes.
Tell me about some of the other products that are available for people to help them manage their diabetes.
So I do think, you know, the use of syringes can be really beneficial when you're first starting out with diabetes, but especially if you're active or you just, honestly, it's awkward pulling out a syringe and giving yourself a shot in the middle of a public place, you know?
And you did that when you were five and six years old.
Yep. And, you know, I'd sit in the lunchroom and people would just kind of stare. It is awkward. People aren't used to it. They don't know about it. They're not educated on it. So I really enjoyed when I got the pump. Because it's automatically giving me basal, which is basically just a dose of insulin throughout the day. So it's trying to level out my blood sugar throughout the day. So I'm not having to bolus it myself. And then again, I can just calculate how many carbs, say I eat a piece of pizza. That's about 30 carbohydrates. I can just program that into my pump and then it will automatically tell me exactly how many units of insulin that I need. So that will just deliver to me automatically once I put the carbohydrates in. So yeah, I use the Omnipod. It's the only wireless pump I know about. And the reason I use that is because, like I said, I'm an athlete, so I can keep it on while I'm playing volleyball.
And there's no tubes or anything that connect
correct.
To you.
Yeah. Yeah. In high school, I did have the Medtronic, which I'm a big fan of the Medtronic. They're great. The only issue was that there did have a tube on it. And I remember this one time specifically, I was walking in the hallway and it's a high school, super crowded, and a kid caught the tube on his backpack and started walking away. and yanked the little
site.
Yeah, that goes into my stomach, and it hurt so bad. And I felt so bad because I kind of screamed at him because it hurt and I needed him to stop. Poor kid. I feel so bad. I don't know who you were, but I'm so sorry if you're listening. But yeah, so definitely, the tube is kind of a problem, but I did hear that Medtronic is kind of putting together a new pump that is also going to contain a continuous glucose monitor, which basically tells you your own blood sugar throughout, like, you know, 24/7, so that, you know, it will alarm when your blood sugar is going too high, alarm when it's going too low. And so they're actually putting that together with the pump. So I'm excited to kind of see what Omnipod and Medtronic and all those other people in the pump industry do with it.
Now, did you feel isolated or somehow abnormal in going through your diabetes experience, or did you have people treat you pretty well and still had the same fellowship? I know we actually went out of our way as parents to make sure that people knew, like your roommates in college.
Yep.
What if Abby starts to act like she's got glassy-eyed and looking through you, that means her blood glucose is really low and they need to give you some juice. Was that awkward for you?
I don't think it's necessarily awkward. I think it puts a lot of stress on some of the people I'm closest to in my life. Like, I remember the first time I had to tell my roommates that I was a diabetic and, hey, if this alarms, I might need you to get me juice and stuff like that. I think it's more intimidating than, you know, something. It's not a barrier between us, but it definitely is a little just stressful for them, I think, because, you know, I have had two seizures because of my blood sugar going so low, and they don't really know what to do with that. So even though I kind of educate them on this and like, hey, you need to do this and that, I think that they're just scared if that actually happens. So I don't think I really felt anything socially, like I didn't feel left out or anything like that. But again, it just goes back to there's certain things that I could do and couldn't do. You know, if I drop low, I couldn't participate in certain activities. Sometimes if my blood sugar dropped low at recess, I couldn't do that. So just things like that. It's just little things. But no, for the most part, people are great with, you know, when I tell them I'm a diabetic, it's just a matter of, are they willing to help me if I need it?
Well, and you mentioned that a lot of diabetics develop celiac disease,
yep,
which it means you're allergic to a wheat protein called gluten. And it can cause all kinds of things. I mean, it makes you nauseated. It's got all kinds of effects.
Oh, it's such a
and
fun
you,
time.
You wrote an article. You go to Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego, where you're going to be a senior this year, writing for their school paper. And you wrote an article about the lack of
gluten-free
options. Tell us about that.
So I go to a university that has a cafeteria, and they have a little section for gluten-free Monday through Friday, but didn't have anything for the weekends. So I remember the first time I went in there on a weekend, and I was like really excited. I was really hungry, and I was like, okay, we're going to get some good food. And they didn't have my section open. And so, you know, I decided to write an article about it because I'm a journalism major, so that's what I decided to do. And long story short, Point Loma Nazarene University now has gluten-free options on the weekends. So definitely made a difference. Yep.
Well, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about gluten-free options in New Mexico, which you also know a lot about. So stay with us here on ABQ Connect, Abby Williams and Jim Williams in studio with you. We'll be right back.
You know July 4th is coming up. And whether you're entertaining or taking advantage of a day to tackle your to-do list, Lowe's is here to help you do it right with savings to spruce up your outdoors. Shop in-store now and get 5 bags of premium mulch for just $10. And get 5 bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil for $10. Whatever's on your list, hurry into your local Lowe's for July 4th savings. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Mulch offer valid in-store only through 7/10. Soil offer valid through 7/3 while supplies last, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
This is Jim Williams, and I think KNKT is a special broadcast channel. It is live, it is local, and it's all about New Mexico. But KNKT also gives you a solid look at mega global issues from a Christian worldview. That is why I want you to know about ABQ Connect 2.0. We'll be talking big issues that have local impact. This is going to be fun and informative. Join us. KNKT loves New Mexico, and so do I. Keep up at knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect.
Are you in high school thinking about going off to college? Are you a college student facing challenges with the change? Don't miss Sojourn this weekend, preparing students for the journey. This free event is happening at Calvary Church, Albuquerque on June 30th, Sunday, 4 to 8 o'clock p.m. This event features guest speakers Ben Corson, who will be our guest here on KNKT tomorrow, so please join us for that, and Dominic Dunn, who joined us yesterday. Don't miss out on the food trucks, DJ, and tons of fun high school and college age welcome. More information is available online, and we are glad to have Abby Williams talking about diabetes. Tough subject, but we wanted to share kind of your story because we want parents particularly and young people that are now kind of cognizant of their situation. You were diagnosed when you were four, so you were just happy-go-lucky and working through it, and we were loving on you, and you made it just fine, but there are people diagnosed anywhere from 4 to, say, 12 years old, and it's a tough time for them.
It is, yeah, definitely.
We talked a little bit about celiac disease and about gluten-free options, because that's really important for a lot of type 1 diabetics and others that just have celiac disease. Tell me about New Mexico and their gluten-free options.
So yeah, it's kind of funny because I go to school out in San Diego and I also went to school out in Phoenix before that. And both those cities are just huge for gluten-free options. Doesn't matter where you go, they always have something for you, whether that's gluten-free bread, a lettuce wrap, whatever it is. They have those options. Here in New Mexico, however, it's a little different. When I'm home for summer, it's always a little difficult because I have to remember which restaurants, can do gluten-free options. And the biggest heartbreak for me is red and green chili. So many places put flour in it. So there are a couple, luckily, I found a couple restaurants that do use cornstarch instead. So definitely go to those places.
Tip us off on those places.
Hannah and Nate's, definitely, they have gluten-free red and green. I'm a huge red fan, and that's the one that usually has gluten in it. So watch out if you have celiacs, because that'll get you. Let's see what other restaurants. I'm pretty sure that Taco Cabana, theirs is gluten-free as well. Or at least I hope. I haven't had a reaction yet.
There you go.
But yeah. So
both green and red are gluten-free.
Yep,
there.
Yep. And it's just, if you ever need to specify that, Duran Station, they have gluten-free, but you have to get the chopped green chili. Their red is not gluten-free. So it's just funny. You got to find little, tips and tricks to find out which restaurants have gluten-free. I really miss breakfast burritos because no one does gluten-free flour tortillas yet. But luckily, if you go to your local, Smith's or something like that, they have a great gluten-free section that you can just buy their tortillas. All corn tortillas are gluten-free, so that's a plus here in New Mexico. But yeah, we're definitely coming up onto the gluten-free scene. You know, there's more and more restaurants coming up that have gluten-free options. Like Tia B's, they have gluten-free waffles. Just a whole bunch of places, Route 66 Diner, that's a great place to eat. And they just now started, doing the gluten-free bread option. So I can get that Albuquerque turkey that I love so dearly, there. So it's definitely getting better here in Albuquerque.
And I know the Great Harvest Bakery here in Albuquerque also has a lot of bread that's gluten-free and pretty tasty.
Oh, so good.
We've
definitely
tried a bunch of it. I also went to Paisano's restaurant.
Oh, I
which
forgot
is
about
Italian
that one.
Up on Eubank, and they have all kinds of gluten-free options. It was tremendous. So, again, Abby Williams in studio with me. She was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, child onset diabetes when she was 4. Really scary time for her mom and I and actually her brothers and sisters who were with us at that time. And they very quickly acclimated to watching you and making sure your blood glucose wasn't too low, because it's scary both when it goes low, because you can pass out.
Yep.
And a lot of times you have like a seizure because your brain is saying, boy, I need glucose, and you have some things in your extremities and stuff, contractions and things that are not real comfortable for people to observe and very dangerous for you. And then the other extreme, being too high, is very dangerous as well, because you develop ketones.
Yep. And if I stay that high for a long time, that could just be detrimental to my health, in the long term, for sure.
So if you're a parent, Abby, and your child is diagnosed with diabetes, tell me some things that you can recommend. First of all, I know you're just going to encourage them because they need to know their child's going to be okay.
Yeah, definitely. As a parent, it's hard because firsthand, Dad, that I was oftentimes just annoyed with you guys because you would be like, hey, what's your blood sugar? Have you tested today? Did you give yourself insulin? And it was always kind of just annoying. But obviously now that I'm actually older and I see that, it's you were actually just trying to help me. It's so much better. And so for parents, I mean, you got to keep doing that. Keep helping out your kids, even if they get annoyed with you. I would look out for things like Dexcom to help manage the blood sugars and watch it 24/7.
That Dexcom's interesting because we get notified of your low blood glucose when you're in San Diego and we're here in Albuquerque. Hey, Abby, thanks for joining us. This is ABQ Connect. We're so glad that you joined us this afternoon. We'll talk to you soon.
ABQ Connect is a production of KMKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily